certainly seen the cell phone video, or maybe several of them, taken from inside United Airlines Flight 3411 of a Chicago Department of Aviation officer forcibly removing David Dow from the plane.
Can't the pilots drive, DeLorme? Can't they rent a car for the pilots and have them drive?
Oh my God!
What are you doing? No, this is wrong! Oh my God! Look at what you did to him!
This led to what can really only be described as a public relations nightmare for the airline, which is not even 2 weeks out from that leggings debacle in which some young girls flying on employee passes were asked not to fly in leggings, violating a dress code. And this was another instance in which the airline was well within its rights, even if the action was taken too far. That became obvious in reading CEO Oscar Munoz's statement posted on Twitter and Facebook on Monday, in which he said the incident was upsetting to everyone at United and offered an apology for having to, quote, re-accommodate the customers. There have been a couple of other statements issued since then, including some live interviews this morning on Wednesday on some of the morning programs on the networks. Not at all what you would consider textbook crisis communication, huh?
This violated every crisis communication operation you could even think about. I mean, this.
Well, maybe it will be the source of textbooks.
I mean, it will be the source of textbook. I mean, this is a classic case study on what not to do. I mean, it's going all the way back to how do you handle this? I mean, number one, whenever you call, and I've said this before, whenever you call the police, bad things happen. Okay. And this was the situation there. I can't believe that they couldn't have come up with something else. But in the aftermath of that, I can't believe that United just didn't come out and do a mea culpa, just right off the top, and say, look, we're sorry that this happened. We're going to go back and look at our procedures, make sure that things are okay. They did this sort of, you know, we're sorry that this happened, but they didn't say they were sorry to him. That reaccommodation, which Twitter sort of blew up on that and used it in all of its various forms to show just how ludicrous the statement is. I mean, they've got some serious issues.
I had a guest speaker in one of my classes yesterday refer to that apology as a Real Housewives sort of an apology. And I'm sorry you feel that way for what happened sort of an apology.
I mean, how often do we talk about this? The apology is worse than the original sin. Right. Sometimes it's constantly compounding it. Think about what kind of protocol should have been in place for a company like this handling PR. I mean, think about the things people complain about the most. Okay, not enough legroom, flight's not on time, baggage fees, and how about, oh, you can get bumped off of a flight because somebody, they've oversold the flight. You wouldn't.
Well, here's the thing. They didn't really oversell the flight. What happened was they were trying to get a crew
to Louisville. They were deadheading a crew to Louisville who needed to stay.
But either way, if you're going to bump somebody from a flight, do you think maybe if there's an elderly gentleman on the flight who's complaining about that, that you don't have somebody you call before calling them the airport cops to come and drag him down the aisle?
Exactly. I mean, how did they think that was going to play out? I mean, that's the thing that I didn't understand. If you're going to call the police to ask someone to get off a plane, that's not going to end well.
And when you apologize, if you apologize, there's a way to apologize that makes a difference. I mean, first of all, you don't wait around. You don't say, well, we're sorry if we inconvenienced any passengers. Oh, but this passenger was belligerent. But, oh, well, after we've watched the video and you've complained about it for a day or more, now I'm going to give you a real, quote unquote, apology. That's kind of how this thing played out.
To me, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in the future, because now you've got Congress talking about doing investigations into this. You've got people who are going on Twitter and on Facebook Live and YouTube and others slashing their United credit cards and their United flight cards and all of that. People basically saying, I will never fly United again. This is going to hurt them in the bottom
line. Which is also interesting, too. Yesterday, I just kind of open up my Snapchat and I'm looking, and I follow American Airlines on Snapchat. Wouldn't you know, American Airlines, which has been pretty quiet on Snapchat the last month or so, suddenly has a big program that they're talking about with their credit cards, and look what we're doing today.
And crisis communications experts could tell you what the playbook is for these things. You have to know what's going to happen on social media if you get caught up in a situation. What, there was a hashtag new United Airlines mottos, and one of them quoted from a story you had was, not enough seating, prepare for a beating. That's going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to
you need to be able to prepare for that. On the other hand, if they had responded quickly and appropriately, I suspect, for good or for ill, this would have blown over fairly quickly. We'll see, for example, later this year when United starts offering flights here in Colombia in competition with American Airlines. Are all the folks in this progressive community going to go, well, look at the way they treated that guy. I'm going to fly on American? Or are they going to appreciate the fact that fares are going down and there's an alternative?
That's a very good point. And that's probably one of the things that United's going to do. You're probably going to see a fare war started by United with the prices going down, because they're going to have to figure out some sort of way to get people to fly
back on those planes. There's also, as we've talked about the public relations and the advertising side of this, there is also an editorial angle to talk about here too. And that is the Day 2 story that was done by the Courier Journal in Kentucky that really tried to explain, who is this guy? Who is David Dow? What's his history? He had said on the plane he was a doctor. He needed to get back to Louisville in order to see patients. And they looked into some of his past, which showed that there had been some drug convictions going back to 2003, 2004, that his medical license had been suspended and then reinstated. And there's been some criticism that wasn't really relevant to what was going on this week and should have been left alone. Your thoughts on that?
I think if you read the original story in the Louisville Courier-Journal, his hometown newspaper, you'd see that they put it in the proper context. That wasn't the lead of the story. They went into great detail about what happened to him and how people reacted to it. But it is an angle to the story that is worthy of publishing. But because that paper is owned by Gannett, and they have a lot of other papers around the country, including USA Today, it got shared with them. Thus, it becomes a national story, and then you have other news media who are doing the shorthand version of this guy, which focuses too much on his past and not enough on what United
did. No, I think you're absolutely right. I think the version in the Courier was appropriate. Mm-hmm. But then when you send that out and it gets edited down for space reasons, a lot of that is missing, and it becomes more about him and his past and his history as opposed to what happened to him, which is a story.